Hello, this is Sandra Ferguson with the Friday, May 26, 2017 edition of the News Gazette. And we will begin on the front page with a piece from Eastern Illinois University called Campus Waiving Its Fee to Apply Till October 2nd. Application process for Fall 2018 launches on Thursday by Tom Kasich, Charleston. Eastern Illinois University is taking aggressive steps to recruit new high school seniors to the Charleston campus. EIU announced Thursday that it would open its application process for the fall 2018 semester next Thursday. And it is waiving the $30 application fee for all freshmen and transfer students who apply between then and October 2nd. EIU is in the midst of a 9-year enrollment slide during which its total student headcount has dropped from 12,179 in the fall of 2007 to 7,415 in the fall of 2016. We chose to move out with our early application timing and fee waiving incentive to provide a greater number of students the opportunity to learn about EIU. Our experience tells us that if we can get students to come visit our beautiful campus and explore EIU, they love what they see, EIU President David Glassman told the News Gazette. We hope this initiative will attract a greater number of prospective students and their families to come visit EIU and Charleston. Josh Norman, EIU's Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management, said that research shows that the most successful college students are those who act early in the application process. It really is a database decision. As we look at the retention of students who come in through the enrollment cycle, those students who apply early are the students who have the highest graduation retention rates, he said. Those are the students we want here. So it's not just about being aggressive in our recruitment efforts, but aggressive for those students who are highly successful here at Eastern Illinois University. That is the central idea behind this change in policy. Norman said that several public universities in Indiana adopted the early application process last year with success. Last year at Eastern, said EIU Admissions Director Kelly Miller, the university opened the application process on July 8th during its summer open house. Other times, said Norman, the application process didn't begin until late August. Waiving the $30 application fee this early in the process also is unusual, Miller said. Last year we had a two-week period where we waived that application fee, said Miller. But as we look at our pool of who applies, we know that those students who apply early are very academically talented. They need to move forward in the admissions process so they can start their scholarship search. So we decided to do June 1st to October 2nd for all of those students who are coming to campus visiting or not coming to campus visiting. EIU said it also would waive the $30 application fee when prospective students apply on campus while attending an official campus visit. This includes any of three scheduled open houses, June 26th, October 9th, Columbus Day, and November 10th, Veterans Day. And in a countdown to Memorial Day, it's an honor. Muhammad Woman Leading the Charge, We Do All That We Can to Help Our Veterans, by Paul Wood, Champaign. Elizabeth Michael of Muhammad was taking donations for poppies at WDWS on Thursday and will be out again today in her hometown. The retired nurse, 78, raised more than $100 at the radio station for Muhammad American Legion Post 1015, where she is chaplain of the auxiliary, to use to help families of soldiers and veterans. It's only one of her charities. She still volunteers as a compassionate care nurse through Carle Foundation Hospital. Michael said the poppy work is very satisfying. We do all that we can to help our veterans, Michael said. We know of various places to serve, At the Danville VA, they need new clothing or health supplies. If a family has a need, for instance, the father is overseas, we buy groceries or get them gift cards. The Remembrance Poppy has been used since 1921 to remember service members who have died in war, inspired by the World War I poem, In Flanders Fields. It's important to remind people of veterans who have passed, Michael said. She knows about service. My husband was in the Navy, my brother was in the Marines, and another brother was in the Army, she said. And there's a grandson in Afghanistan in the Air Force. Her father and father-in-law both worked during emergencies, such as helping in floods, she added. Michael has also made more than 75 scarves for all the auxiliary members, and I've given some to my friends. And Michael is a leader in the Central Illinois chapter of Project Linus, an organization that makes blankets for children who are ill or have suffered trauma or are otherwise in need of care. Michael is one of the first to get in the spirit of a number of Memorial Day celebrations over the weekend. And now from the Champaign Schools, District Using Summer Break to Plan, by Julie Wirth. Summer vacation is officially underway for thousands of Champaign students, but planning for a massive upgrade of 6 district schools will continue in earnest during the break. The bulldozers aren't quite ready to move in, but lots of behind-the-scenes work will take place this summer so construction projects can kick off next spring, said School Board President Chris Kleppel. The district is in the planning and design phase for $183.4 million of renovations to Central and Centennial High Schools, Edison Middle School, Dr. Howard and Southside Elementary Schools, and the International Prep Academy. The work will be done in phases over the next 5 years and be substantially completed by September 2022, according to the initial timeline. Architects will continue meeting with teachers this summer to flesh out building designs. The district is closing on properties it recently acquired around Central High School, and administrators are working with the Champaign Park District on a plan to redevelop Spalding Park to house Unit 4's baseball and tennis facilities. Here's a rundown of this summer's action. Central Properties. The district closed last week on its purchase of 4 large rental homes around Central, owned by the Hearst family, including the Albert and Julia Burnham Mansion, to make way for the high school's expansion. School officials are talking with the Preservation and Conservation Association and Landmarks Illinois about salvaging, documenting, or moving the homes before demolition, or possibly repurposing them for district use. But several have tenants until August 1st, so any walkthroughs may have to wait until then, Kleppel said. The Dodds family, which is descended from the Burnhams, would also like to go through the Burnham Mansion, he said. The district is set to close soon on the former McKinley YMCA building, the Christian Science Church property, and a house just west of the Hearst properties, all on Church Street, Kleppel said. The school board approved those purchases Monday night. The hope is to close Lynn Street north of Church and connect the YMCA and Church properties for use as athletic fields, he said. Once the tenants move out, the school district will do an assessment of all the new properties to determine next steps, said Chief Financial and Legal Officer Tom Lockman. One possibility is using some of the space to relocate offices from other buildings. For example, if Dr. Howard's students are moved to the former Columbia School while their school is torn down and rebuilt, the plan used when Booker T. Washington School was rebuilt, then programs now in Columbia, food service offices, Kids Plus, etc., would need somewhere else to go, Lockman said. That's just one possibility, and it's unclear whether any of the properties are suitable for that purpose, he said. Ultimately, the district plans to tear them down, per the plan approved by voters for Central's expansion, he said. If the district is to keep one of the houses, the question is how it would serve the district's mission and whether it would be cost-effective, Kleppel said. It's possible that Landmarks or another group could bring outside funding to the project, he said. Spalding Park. The timeline for the work at Spalding, initially scheduled to start next spring and wrap up by fall 2018, may have to be pushed back slightly, Kleppel said. The school district, which will pay for the work, is still negotiating a memorandum of understanding for the project with the park district, which owns the land. The two then need to develop an intergovernmental agreement that details what will be done, where and when, said Park District Executive Director Joe DeLuce. The park district was already planning to redevelop Spalding, possibly with more lighting, hiking trails, or other features, and the plans have to fit together, officials said. The park currently has tennis courts, a basketball court, baseball fields, a popular skate park, and a community center used by special recreation. The key for us is for it to also remain a park. We want the community to utilize the park, DeLuce said. Another meeting is scheduled next week, and DeLuce and Lockman hope to get the Memorandum of Understanding signed within the next month or so. Kleppel and DeLuce said it's too soon to say when work might start. The baseball fields have to move to Spalding from McKinley Field, where they've been since 1924, before McKinley can be converted to a football practice field and track facility. The high school baseball season doesn't start until spring, but girls' tennis is in the fall, Lockman said. Another issue is what will happen to the school district's soccer fields behind Franklin Middle School, Lockman said. Design plans. The district's design team has met several times with teachers and students over the last 6 weeks to develop plans for the two high schools. They're focusing on what programs departments envision in science, art, and other areas, which will help determine the design. About 24 staff members plan to tour new or recently renovated suburban Chicago high schools on June 5th to see what might be possible and ask questions about how those spaces work, Lockman said. A community meeting is also planned to share design and program information with the public, but that's not likely before the fall, Lockman said. The board last month agreed to negotiate contracts with architects and construction managers for 5 of the buildings, other than Dr. Howard. It will have a general contractor, though one hasn't been hired yet, Kleppel said. O'Shea Builders and Perkins and Will Architects will handle the two high school projects. Brerin Russo will manage construction for the remaining buildings. Racial Architects will design the Edison renovation expansion, and BLDD Architects will handle the other elementary schools. Oversight Committee. In late summer, the board plans to appoint a referendum oversight committee made up of community members with ties to design or construction, Lockman said. The panel can provide feedback and expertise as the projects move forward and help ensure they are consistent with the goals and the values that our community has for its schools, he said. Applications will be taken in late July or early August, and the committee will hold its first meeting sometime in the fall. And we'll turn now to the opinions page and begin with an editorial called Power Plays Not Productive. If time is money, Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and the Democrats in the legislature are wasting plenty of both. Democrats in the Illinois Senate took a step in the right direction this week when they passed legislation giving voters expanded authority to seek tax savings by consolidating local units of government. This is one of the structural reforms the government has asked for. It's time for Governor Rauner to get on board, Democratic State Senator Tom Cullerton of Villa Park said. Unfortunately, Cullerton was not quite accurate in his statement, and the gulf between what he said and the reality poses a big problem for the people of Illinois. There was a partisan divide on SB 3, the consolidation bill. The legislation passed with 37 yes votes, mostly from Democrats, including State Senator Scott Bennett of Champaign. Republicans either voted in opposition or cast present votes, including State Senators Chapin Rose of Mahomet and Jason Barrickman of Bloomington. To the outsiders, opposition from GOP members was something of a surprise because they, for the most part, support consolidating the state's thousands of local units of government. Illinois has more local taxing districts than any other state, and the number needs to be dramatically reduced because the cost is excessive and they're mostly invisible to taxpayers. DuPage County Board Chairman Dan Cronin, a former member of the Illinois Senate, has made consolidation one of his top priorities. So why the opposition? Barrickman explained that the consolidation bill was one of a number of pieces of legislation that Democratic and Republican senators had under negotiation as part of the proposed bipartisan grand bargain. Ultimately, he said, the deal fell apart, prompting Democrats to step away from the negotiated language and run their own bill. Since the GOP was essentially shunted aside, its members saw no reason to vote for the Democratic version of the bill. Some might call that shameless, pointless partisanship, making perfect the enemy of good. There's some merit to the change. At the same time, in a legislative body, both sides wish to be heard. When majority Democrats decided to flex their own muscle and do it their way, minority Republicans are generally left to either knuckle under or walk away. When the minority party knuckles under, it only encourages the majority party to keep playing their hardball. There is, of course, an equalizer here. The Democrats' decision to blow off the Republicans on the consolidation bill, among others, isn't decisive. That's because Governor Bruce Rauner, a Republican, has veto power and can be expected to use it. The Democrats don't have enough votes to override a veto. In other words, the Democratic approach isn't likely to be effective. So what's the point, other than to score partisan points? The people of Illinois elected a divided government, Democratic legislature, Republican governor. That requires compromise. Governor Rauner can't dictate to Democratic legislators any more than they can dictate to him. So they either work out their differences at the negotiating table, or nothing happens. So far, nothing has happened on the budget and related issues for 2 years because the two sides have been unable to find common ground. Given the partisan divide present here, nothing of substance is likely to happen. And that's bad and getting increasingly worse. Illinois is awash in unnecessary local units of government. Champaign County has 30 townships alone, far too many, even if one accepts the argument that they perform some vital role that could not be assumed by county government. Taxpayers can't afford to squander money on unnecessary units of government that could be redirected to better uses. But they will be forced to continue to do so until there's some kind of bipartisan agreement on this subject and many others. And we'll turn now to the From Our Readers section and begin with a piece written by Emily Rodriguez of Champaign called Students Relying on Loan Program. On May 23rd, President Donald Trump submitted a budget proposal calling for a 13.5% cut to education programs. These steep cuts are spread through K-12 and aid to higher education, cuts we would feel at home in Illinois. We need Congressman Rodney Davis to oppose these cuts now. My story is like many other students in the 13th Congressional District. I am a doctoral student at the University of Illinois. I've relied on hard work and more than $60,000 in student loans to get here. I dreamed of becoming a professor, but after crunching the numbers, I knew pursuing a doctorate would delay my loan repayments and increase interest on some loans. This was the case for many students like me, but the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program made feasible our dreams of teaching and researching at public institutions. Trump's budget would eliminate the program I planned my financial future on. Unless Congress acts, I will be saddled with loan payments into my 50s, delaying investments in my children's education and my retirement. My case is precarious, yet many of Davis's constituents face worse prospects. Almost 500,000 people participate in PSLF. After 10 years of uninterrupted payments, participants were set to have their loans forgiven in October. The compact they planned their future on is now up for debate in Congress. Congressman Davis represents more than 20 higher education institutions. We need him to ensure the promises the federal government has made to his constituents are kept. I urge readers to contact the congressman. And that again was written by Emily Rodriguez of Champaign. The next piece is written by John Maggio, Commander VFW Post 630 of Urbana, and is called Military Medals Awarded, Not Won. In the May 23rd news article about the Champaign School Board meeting, the News Gazette stated that Brian Riegler was the Purple Heart-winning new principal at Centennial High School. To clarify, the Purple Heart and other military medals are awarded, not won. Toaster ovens are won. Individuals receiving prestigious awards like the Silver and Bronze Stars and the Purple Heart have gone way beyond expected duty, including the risking and sacrificing of their life in combat. As a side note to Mr. Riegler, thank you for your service and congratulations on your new position at Centennial. And that again was written by John Maggio, Commander VFW Post 630, Urbana. And the next from our readers piece is written by Alex Goodlad of Champaign, and it's called Trump Team Changes Its Story. It's time to see this administration's actions for what they are, obstructions of justice. I just fired the head of the FBI. He was crazy, a real nut job, President Donald Trump said to a Russian official. I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off. Save your fake news remarks because Press Secretary Sean Spicer didn't refute this. He said, by grandstanding and politicizing the investigation into Russia's actions, James Comey created unnecessary pressure on our ability to engage and negotiate with Russia. I understand temptation to believe it's just those poo-poo dimwitcrats lying again. And we can totally drink a beer later and talk smack together about the Democratic National Committee if anyone wants. But I challenge everyone to be fair-minded. A fair case against Hillary Clinton was she wasn't getting proper scrutiny. Surely the Clinton investigation from Benghazi to the emails weren't political grandstanding or a witch hunt. Like it or not, Trump put himself in hot water. In similar respects to Hillary's dishonest email interviews, from the moment he said, I have a relationship with Putin during the campaign trail leading up to now. To fire Comey because it eases pressure, why would it pressure him if he's innocent, only arouses further suspicion. Two can play at crying witch hunt games, but who passes the consistency test? The Trump administration fails in a wave of inconsistent narratives. I urge people like Rodney Davis, who voted down H.R. 356, to buck up and treat transparency like a bipartisan issue. And that again is written by Alex Goodlad of Champaign. And the next piece is written by Gary Fry of Oakwood, called Not Right Working Soil on Windy Days. Farmers create Illinois' version of a haboob. I was driving on May 17th on Interstate 74 and 72 and was witness to the dust storms that day. To my surprise, the most severe dust was being created by tractors working the fields. I realize farmers sometimes only have a few days to get their seeds in the ground. But at what price? There were at least 2 deaths attributed to the dust, and in my opinion, that is not worth any yield gains farms may get. Maybe our lawmakers should take steps to keep this from happening again. And that was written by Gary Fry of Oakwood. And we'll take a look in the history section now. And in area history, in 1917, Judge Franklin Boggs granted a petition to sever the bonds of matrimony between 75-year-old W.O. Smith and his 22-year-old wife, Elsie. In 1967, the enrollment of the District 505 Community College, to be temporarily located in downtown Champaign that fall, had risen to 227 daytime students, said Donald Swank, Dean of Students. Of the total 75 applicants were from Champaign High School. In 2002, many Illinois politicians were keeping their distance from scandal-plagued Governor George Ryan. The only ones discussing the 54 Ryan aides were Democrat The 54 Ryan aides who had been charged were Democrat Rod Blagojevich and Republican Jim Ryan, the men vying to replace him as governor. In international history, today's highlight, on May 26, 1917, a tornado in central Illinois killed 101 people, mostly in the Mattoon-Charleston area. And on this date, in 1521, Martin Luther was banned by the Edict of Worms because of his religious beliefs and writings. And in 1868, the impeachment trial of President Andrew Johnson ended with his acquittal on the remaining charges. And next, in Top of the Morning, WDWS 1400 AM plans special coverage of today's memorial services for Dave Schall. The longtime TV and radio announcer passed away Monday after a battle with cancer. He was 75. At 7 p.m. today, the station will run taped coverage of the funeral, which is being held at Champaign's First Presbyterian Church. Speakers include former WCIA announcer John Paul, WDWS announcer Tim Dittman will record the service. The idea came from producer-engineer Ed Bonds. WDWS received permission from Schall's family, and the church then started working on the logistics. This is not the first time WDWS has carried coverage of a memorial service. After the death of former Illinois basketball assistant Wayne McLean, WDWS streamed coverage and ran a taped version later that night. The coverage received a positive response, especially from former players who couldn't get back for the services. "We got many thanks for doing it," Dittman said. And we'll take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Friday, May 26, 2017 edition of the News Gazette. I'm Sandra Ferguson. Please stay tuned.